Turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and their wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged riled at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of the deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy to you all from God, our Heavenly Father, and from his dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that always bothers me when you have been to a church and preparing a message like with stewardship, you wonder, "I wonder if I did this one before, or did this illustration before, like I'm going to do in a few moments." But then I said to myself, "Hey, it's a good story, and it doesn't hurt to hear it again if I did." So I apologize for those who may have heard it 15 years ago, because I do remember this particular time coming up in the history of this congregation of talking about one of the most dreaded subjects of a congregation, which is raising money. But we have since talked about it, not just money, but being good stewards of time, talent, and treasure. I, in my history, have heard many stewardship messages. One of my favorites wasn't prepared or told to me in a church, but it happened watching an old TV series called Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson had many different characters. One of my favorites, besides Geraldine, was an individual who he would play, Reverend Leroy. Reverend Leroy was the pastor of the church of what's happening now. And he would proclaim his message to the people,
in many fun and unusual ways. On this particular Sunday, he was talking about the need for the people to raise money for the ministry of the church. Reverend Leroy would calmly remind the people as he was walking around and telling the people, you know, God is good to us. He has always blessed us. And we as his people need to show a proper appreciation to God. Now, just like a baby, we can't immediately take on adult forms and do the things as we would when we're grown up. So like a baby, we first have to learn how to crawl. And like a church, we needed to crawl and do things in baby's ways before we were able to move and to grow. And as it always is in the black church, the people would properly respond. Yes, Rev, let us crawl as we go about serving the Lord. And he says, but that comes a time when you begin to not just crawl, but you begin to stand up and be able to take small baby steps and be able to do a little bit more to serve the Lord. And as he was telling the people, he would just stand straight up and he would take these little steps as he was walking around her. And at a church, we need to stand up and take our rightful place and responsibility to the work that the Lord has given us. And again, the people responded, yeah, let's stand, Rev. We're ready to stand. But you know, after standing, the next way is you begin to feel more confident. And you begin to start not just standing, but to start running. And running in a way that, again, runs toward the goal, runs toward the mission, runs for those things that needed to be done. So he says, okay, let's all start running. And he starts running in steps. He said, let's run. And the people say, yeah, run. Let's run. We're ready to run. Finally, he says, you know, after we run, we're ready to go for that big race, to do the dash, to run as fast as we can, to get to the end line and to do those things that we know we can do and to make those extreme sacrifices to do and to raise the money we need to make sure that this church will be in your place. Now, are you ready and willing to run? And the members of the church said, let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl. As I look at our text for today, I'm reminded in the Colossians, I bought the wrong book. Since it's not, oh, here it is. It's the text for our message is based in Colossians, Paul's letter, in which he says, beginning with chapter 1, verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is our text. Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and merciful God, we continue to give thanks and seek your blessings and mercy upon our lives as we continue to serve you with all the blessings and gifts that you bestow upon us daily. Lord, as you continue to be our Lord and Savior and to assist us in all our needs and desires and wants, We pray, O Lord, that you will always make us worthy of the blessings and gifts that you give to us. Guide us, bless us, and help us, Lord, to be your good stewards, faithful in all good things that you have blessed us with our time, with our talents, and with our treasure. To you be given the glory, the praise, and the honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. You know, one of the great responsibilities of the church is to again remember that even though the Lord God has given us these great blessings in our lives, we experience them daily. None of us were not able to even be here or to be able to walk into this church, no matter how much assistance some of us may need or how clear our head may have been. We know that that's all a gift and a blessing from God. And as he continues to be with us and to bless us, we need to acknowledge that and to give him the thanks, the honor, and the praise. And to know that as long as he and we are in that relationship with him, he will continue to be and to guide and to help us as we serve him. But some of us go through life feeling depressed about the fact that certain things happen, that we feel we don't deserve it, that somehow we must have done something wrong, or there is something going on that we misinterpreted what God is doing for us and for the rest of the world. I know that many people are disappointed of what happened a couple weeks ago with the election. Feel God doesn't love me, doesn't care for me. Others are saying, now God will give us justice and show power in the lives of all them people who are finally getting their comeuppance. When we look at the things that happen to us personally, whether it be we lose our jobs. I talked to a woman just the other day who had been hurt in an accident and was on disability for 6 months. Now, her company kept her on disability and was able to allow her to go back to work, only to find out when she got back to work, they kept her for 2 days and then laid her off. And was wondering, why is God doing this to me? Well, the other thing that she then said, that even though I was laid off when I came back, I did get a year and a half severance pay with benefits. And I helped her understand that God is still caring for you even now. Even myself, when I look at my own life, particularly suffering from cancer, there were times in which I thought my faith was pretty strong. I thought I was very positive about my relationship with the Lord. I thought that he was going to be able to see me through it. But when it didn't happen on the schedule that I was hoping for, when all the doctors said, oh, you'll be fine in a couple months, a year later, I'm still suffering in pain. I didn't quite feel able to do what I was able to do prior to the surgery. You know, losing a lot of weight may look good. Being in a position where you see the body image change in the mirror, or the fact that you as a child of God thought your faith was strong enough to do anything and to receive anything, to realize that you're not as strong as you thought you were. There were times in which I saw myself not being able to respond and not being able to do things that I used to be able to do, my famous saying, and still is today, that was then, this is now. That this is a reality that the Lord has given me, not to defeat my spirit, but to show me that my trust, my hope, and my faith is always placed in His care and in His knowing that what is best for me, not to determine by me what that time and that place may be. When we look at a day like today, as we are preparing a commitment that we're making to the church and to the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we tend to make it like that balance where, well, God did this for me, I guess He deserves this from me. There are times in which we look at, it was a good year by the way in which the Lord has blessed me, either financially, economically, health-wise, and therefore maybe I ought to be able to give this percentage to Him. We forget that everything we have is a gift of God. God, both in all things, time, our talents, and our treasure, could demand a complete accountability of everything. I had a member who always used to remind me. He says, is it too much of a sacrifice to give back a dime for every dollar that the Lord has blessed us with? That's a tithe. That's a small sacrifice that the Lord is asking back to His work of how He has blessed us much more abundantly than we deserve. One thing about stewardship. Stewardship is a time and a reflection to give honor and praise to the one who is the ultimate steward in our lives and in all those things that surround us. Can you imagine in any of us if we treated, God treated us like at times we treat one another? Can you imagine God saying, well, you know, you didn't pray for me today, or you didn't recognize the people who I sent your way to offer assistance and to help them in their hour of need. But yet, you wish for me to give you everything you ask and desire for without thinking of the responsibility that you have to share that gift and that hope with others. A pastor colleague of mine down in New Orleans makes baggy sandwich bags of items like toothpaste, shaving cream, soap, small mouthwashes. Most of that stuff he gets when he travels at the hotels, and he'll either take those, because he bought his own, with him back home. And occasionally he'll ask the maid who is serving his room if she had any extras. And he'll bring it home, and he puts it into these baggies. And as he sees, as we all do, individuals who are saying, I'll take anything, I need assistance, food, work, whatever. And he pulls next to his car one of those baggies, travel kits, to give to that homeless or that individual who are in need. When I saw it, I kept saying, do you know how many times I have left it, thrown it out, knowing that I already paid for it because of my room it was part of my rooming thing. But again, that's something that was a discard from the hotel and yet could make a difference in the life of a person who had nothing. So now that's my practice. I do about once a month, gather whatever I can gather. In fact, I just got some more stuff from the cruise ship of items that I'm going to make into those baggies so that I can give that as a way of, again, showing the blessings of God. And it makes so much caring and difference to see the light in these individuals light up when you show that type of caring. Yes, money helps. Yes, food items help. But I mean, things that it didn't cost me a thing. Well, nothing that I had to pay for immediately. But again, it does make a difference for a person who was in need. Stewardship is a way in which we again give God all the honor and the praise by showing individuals how much we are loved and blessed by God as we now use those gifts to make a blessing in the lives of others. As you prayerfully consider your response to the blessings and the gifts God continues to give in your life, yes, you're not able to do the things you once were able to do. Circumstances do change on a yearly and sometimes even more than that, depending on circumstances of life that happen in our way. But one thing is true. God is a loving God. He does bless us. He does care for us. He does allow his mercy and grace to fall upon us, not just so we can say, yes, we belong to the Lord only, but also that we are instruments of the work that the Lord has called us to do while we are here. And it may not be what you did last year, and it may not be what you'll be able to do in the years to come, but know that the Lord now does make it possible for you to do something for his glory, for his praise, and to make a difference of how much God loves you and how that is shown in the way in which you love your brothers and sisters around you. You know, the gospel lesson for the day talked about individuals who hung on the cross with Jesus, who had legitimate reasons to be mad at him because he was in the same state that they were. But one said, you know, we know why we're here, but this man has done nothing. And understood that even though while he was hanging on the cross for not his sins, but the sins of all the world, to realize that he could be the answer to the greatest gift of all, the gift of knowing that even though he has sinned horribly in his life, Jesus is still able to promise him that not next week, not next year, not something that will happen in the future, but today, because of your faith, you will be with me in paradise. God invites us as we await his coming, no matter when that will be, no matter what circumstances it may take it, that he still calls us to have our faith and trust in the promises that he has died on Calvary, that we experience when we come to his altar to receive his body and blood as a reminder that he is our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Yes, our Lord comes to us while we need him, and invites us at all times to give all that we can to make a difference in the lives of others whom he has called us to share that gift in the ministries and the places that he reminds us to be a part of. May God bless us, keep us, and guide us as we look to him in strength and are appropriately sharing in the gifts and the mercies that he has bestowed on our lives, in the lives of all his people, in the ministries he has called us to do, knowing that our God is always able. To him be the glory and praise both now and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, keep us and bless us both now and forevermore. Amen.